this great love that you've loved us with. Hallelujah, Lord. Keep your hand upon our lives and upon our families. Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings. We thank you for your precious blood. Amen. God cleanses us from all sin.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. Thank you.
praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 23 to verse 33. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the bride of Christ, and drawing that from the scripture. So oftentimes we use that scriptures in probably just about every wedding that we would do, because it teaches us about how that we should love our spouses. But in reality, most of that centers around our loving God, amen, and God loving us. And we know that that is true in his life. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8 says this. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Amen. White and in fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. And when I made mention of that, actually in verse 32, back to Ephesians 5, and I know you'll remember it. It says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will. I'm sorry, got the wrong verse down. Nevertheless, let every man, every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife rests with the husband. I'm going to climb this ladder, get up there in a minute. Verse 32, it says, for this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Amen. And so it's easy for us to read that portion of scripture and think, you know, this is about my husband, this is about my wife, this is about, you know, these things that God has taught us. And those are true, but really they're secondary to what God is saying. Amen. It is the Lord is the one that we know is a people that loves us, cares for us. Amen. And he has a bride. And his bride is every one of us, those that live for God, that serve God. In the world that we live in today, and that seems to be diminishing, I know, but somehow we just need to say, God, give me, if people are just kind of giving up the faith and losing things, just give me more, amen, and myself, and keep ourselves in line with God, because we are his bride, amen, and he sets himself in that truth and makes that sacrifice, and then it's not that man and wife had their thing going and they let God in on the picture, it's the other way around that God is saying, but nevertheless, it still remains that the husband love his wife, amen, and let his wife, take care and love him and support him in all things. In the lesson tonight, I want to probably go to a few different areas of scripture. Part of it is this part relationship that we find in Ephesians 5 is where God, he approaches us. He loves us. He cares for us. And we can't get haughty with it because he loves everybody. Amen. He loves them in a godly way, in a miraculous way, a way that is going to bless the life that they're living in. And so we know that these are things that God has given to us. The psalmist in 8, verse 4, I don't think that's on your list. Yes, it is too. I'm sorry. Regarded in the stars and ask God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Amen. And he's asking that question to a God that when we stop and think about who we're going to compare ourselves in life, amen, in this Old Testament scripture as well as the New Testament as a picture, God does enough to impress you. Matter of fact, God does enough to overwhelm you. Amen. He does enough to where if it goes just right, you'll never forget about it. Amen. If we let God bless us, amen, and minister to us, we know that, as was called, I will tell people every now and then, especially the male part of a wedding or of a couple, I will tell usually the man because I don't want, you know, to get hit by the woman, you know, something along the lines that you married up, amen. And, of course, the most people realize what I'm saying there is that your wife is just so much more, you know, sweeter, more intelligent, amen, more wise, you know, better looking by a long shot. I'm talking to the men now, amen. And those are things that in our personal level, in our low level that we live in, amen, we understand that those are compliments that we hear. But with God, all he has done is hung the stars and the moon and, amen, the oceans and the depth of the oceans, and he puts some dirt in a weighing, and he weighs out mountains, and he causes all these things that we see that are more beautiful. I don't know what it is, but it seems like in the last year that I have paid more attention to creation, you know, just the beauty of it. And I don't know about you, but we have had some clouds that were really... I've seen a lot of people post some of those scenes on Facebook, amen, and that's beautiful. And you can say, hey, my husband did that, amen. My Savior did that. So we really got in far over our heads. And thank God we are ruled by someone that is wise enough and willing enough to come and visit us so that our lives can be in order, that we can walk in that straight line, that we can do the things, amen, that God teaches us throughout his world. And so when we say, Lord, you know, who am I? And what is man that you have visited me? The Son of Man, amen, that you have come. And so these are the psalmist writings about how that God is spectacular, amen, in the way that he presents himself. And so oftentimes we forget that. Hallelujah. I think the St. Louis Cardinals are wonderful, but they lose a lot of the times, just barely under that mark right now, Sister Raleigh. Amen. But when it comes to us admiring God and worshiping God, that's what it's all about. He is really the one that is worthy of our worship. And in the Old Testament, when we talk about Adam and Eve, of course, the Lord had placed them in the garden, and I know that there were many promises that were made there, but it was more, you know, it's like somebody, and this is one of the things that, I don't know how long they were in that garden before Eve messed up. And Adam let her mess up. Amen. And he should have been there. There was a book I read years ago that says, where was Adam? When all this was going on, where was the man at? And it was more Eve in a leadership role, which is reverse of what it should be. And so it is there that the devil comes and begins to talk to this woman. Now, God has told Adam that you can eat of all the trees in the garden. I might get some of this wrong because I don't want to bog all of my time down in that. But he says, but except that tree that's in the middle of the garden, the midst of the garden, is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if the day that you eat that, you're going to die. And it was okay for how long? Amen. I mean, we're very, very well could be talking about 100 years. We could be talking about 5 days. Amen. There's things that are there that we don't understand that, but we know that is God's rule, God's law, and that we are to be subject to that. And this tree that's in the midst of the garden, we're not going to touch. Amen. Even though they did touch it. And God never said they couldn't touch it. But that's part of life when we start trying to make things a little bit harder than what they should be. And so we talk about Adam, and Adam and his name, he is mankind. That's what it comes down to really mean. There's another wave of that there, but we'll just stick with that for right now. The Lord was this one that serves mankind. And when that is brought into the scripture, now we've seen that there's like a mass growth that has happened, and not to the population that we have today, but all of that is spreading out. Their falls, their failures, their weaknesses, their strengths, and God knows them all. Amen. And he knew that when he established them, and the Lord commits himself. Matter of fact, he commits himself to Adam and Eve in the garden that, you know, you're allowed to stay, just enjoy what you want to eat and have a good time. But, you know, just stay away and do not eat of the garden that's the tree that's in the midst of the garden. And that is your restriction that you have in life. And somewhere in that distance, like I said, Eve got a hold of a piece of fruit, what it was, we don't know exactly. A man shares it with her husband, their eyes are open, and they realize that they're naked. And you know what? Something that is significant as being the bride. Now, God does not call him the bride in this particular situation yet, but we know, and God is going to tell us that the way he loves people, those are people that really belong to me. Those were the people that should have taken care of the garden, you know, because they're not going to sweat. They're not going to have to exert themselves. They're going to see a lot of beauty. They're just going to be in a place to where they can walk in that garden. And in the toward the evening time, this man would come by, invisible probably in character, or visible, who knows, amen. But now he talks to them, and he fellowships with them, and he cares for them. And in the midst of all of that, and his care, and his love, it comes down to the point to where, let me just read this verse. And God, the Lord God commanded man, saying, every tree of the garden that thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, if for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And so he makes this, gives them this directive, amen, how that they would live their life. And so as they do this, I'm looking for a particular scripture here. And this relationship was burned. It is in this same relationship that God said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's in Genesis, just chapter 2. Amen. And already he's talking about there's more things coming. Because this man is going to have to leave his mom and dad, or his father-in-law, mother-in-law, and be joined to her. Leave his father and mother, excuse me, I'm sorry. And as he follows that, now he realizes that it's a promise that there's going to be another growth. And that growth is going to be my people. Amen. And my bride. And the ones that I look after. Until that is broken, especially with their walk with God. Amen. God has placed this couple in a garden to where there is adequate provision and everything that they want. There's protection. There's no harm that is coming. You can just sit back and enjoy life. Now, I know some people are always wondering, you know, it doesn't sound like great. Is one that was not leaving them or forsaking them, but allowing things to happen. And as he moves them out of the garden, it was those that have really hindered their relationship with God. And he goes out, and some of the evil that remains, it's not long to where we find murder is entering into the picture. And yet God would look upon those people and realize that there is a way of faith, that Abraham, amen, or excuse me, Adam in the garden must have taught his kids something about sin sacrifice and worship sacrifice. Amen, to where they know when they've done something wrong, or they've offended man, or they've offended the will of God and the word of God. Because it's always amazed me that how that Adam and make sacrifices almost simultaneously. One was the tiller of the field. There's nothing wrong with being the tiller of the field. The other was the one that was the keeper of the flock. Amen. And then there came a time that they were going to worship. And all I can say is that there it seems as to me that something went haywire there. I don't know if maybe Abel did not want to offer the fields anymore, or you know, any of the cattle anymore, but they just want to be there to the point to where God is with them and showing them, and they've shown their children that your walk with God is about sacrifice. And one of those was going to be a murderer. But the Lord leaves this message to mankind. Why, how do you know that, Brother Davis? Because mankind does it. God supports it. And I'm sure there's times that those people that were hungry for God could walk outside and, Lord, what did I deserve to get this? You're just way over my head. Amen. Everybody said, praise the Lord, while I get a drink. We find that this word Adam, and talking about mankind a while ago, they fell in this sinful disobedience. And the serpent comes into the pictures, questions God's authority. You know, we need to really pray for our children today, because there is very little of God's word and God's influence in our schools. Amen. Matter of fact, it's probably going to become less. It is a part of this idea that, you know, if you eat of that tree, you can just, you'd be so happy. Everything will go so well. Even though it did not, there was something about that we know that their spirituality literally dies, and death is captured, and there is a separation from God. And of course, we know that there has to be that recalling and that coming back to God. And it's just God's people going on. And so we go from, you know, we don't even know the numbers of how quickly the world did grow, but we know that there was becoming a great number of people upon the face of this earth. And God would establish, He is the God of all the earth. There is no other God. God's not willing that any would perish. I believe all those attributes of God was with Him in the very beginning, even as He saw people faltering and falling, amen, and stumbling, amen. I hope and I know that I'm sure that He was an encourager for them. Jay, could you get me Deuteronomy chapter 14 and 2? You might have it there already. Okay. And it says this, For thou art holy, a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be himself above all the nations that are up on the earth. And now God moves into another realm to where it is God that made Israel. And man lived in this state for many years. I know I'm going over a lot of scripture. We have to do that. But what we talk is just man in general. I can apply, and I think you know that we can, that verse. God doesn't take delight, you know, in the failure of the wicked. You know, He delights Himself in man when he does well. He wants to bless man when he does good. But there is much evil in the heart of man and the mind of man to where it's hard for maybe him even to imagine that I have a relationship with God, that I'm His bride. I'm His follower. He loves me. He cares for me. He keeps me. Amen. There's people that have taught their kids even how to make sacrifices, but maybe they decide to run off on their own. But the next step of that is we move away from Adam and Eve, and the next step is that God wants to have a relationship that is ever part as much as being married, amen, to them, and committed to them, amen, as it was here. And of course, the love of God does not begin, amen, in you know, the faith, or the 1 Corinthians 13, where everybody's in love, amen. It starts with our being born into this world. And so He says, you're a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people, amen. And when He talks about that, you're going to be peculiar because I can make you peculiar. I can make you peculiar not in odd, but in the idea that there are very few, really what we call today, people that are interested in relationship. And yet that's what Ephesians 5 is all about, relationship. Amen. And being there for your husband and being there for his wife. For the Lord has chosen Jacob, Psalms 1, or 35 and 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Now it's not just, there's becoming more of a separation from God as you go along. Amen. And there is a dividing. We know that sin is all about being separated. We know about divorce, and that's a part of separation, moving away from things that you have given over to God and covenants that you've made with God in those ways. God's desire for Israel was this. In Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse 4, then we'll drop down to verse 8. Amen. And again, I will have to turn here and read that myself instead of looking on here. But let's just look at these verses. Ezekiel chapter 4, and as for thy nativity and the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water of the sepulchre that was in thee, that thou wast not salted at all, or swallowed up. What is he dealing with? He's dealing with a lady having a baby and cutting its cord and all that is there. It's not great. Drop down to verse 8. It says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness, yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into the with thee, saith the Lord, as thou hast promised me. Now, the Lord is saying there was a covenant of this covering, of this shield over the mother that has just had a child. Amen. And he's there to protect it. He's there to love it. He's there to care for it. He's letting them know, you know, that I am your God and you are my people. Amen. You are the one that I love. Amen. He tells us that individually, not just collectively. We don't have to come to church to feel and sense the presence of God coming and trying to bless us and love us. Amen. And then in verse 16, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work, thou didst fine flour and oil, thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper to a kingdom. That's how the kingdom really came, is when they let God bless them and they could bless God and they could have a relationship. And that is what builds that, the reward that God wants to put upon his people, amen, by being, dedicated and consecrated to his kingdom and being all that they could for that, amen, in Jesus' name. The Lord says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This is Matthew 23:37. If you're taking notes, I don't know if this was, I got a note here with you, Jay. I think this one is not on there. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou hast killed the prophets and standest them that are sent unto thee, or stonest them that was sent unto thee. And I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under thy wings, and thou would not. Very quickly, you know, the Lord represents here, in Matthew, he tells them that people, God wants to help. I used this in a funeral thought not long ago about how that God wants to take that chick, you know, and just bring it into its wings. And we heard the story. I remember the story when Brother and Sister Blake came to our church 1,000 years ago. Amen. And she was real young, and she was a beautiful girl. And Brother Blake, he was very smart and ugly, but, you know. About the mother protecting. And the Lord draws that image. I don't want you to be destroyed. I don't want you to be hindered. I don't want you to have to go through life suffering, amen, as it was. And so the Lord offers them these benefits. Exodus 19 and 4 talks about God bringing them up on eagle's wings, amen. In Psalms 23, he talks to him about being a shepherd, amen, that he even went out and did great things. He talks about later on a nation, Jehovah's vineyard, in the very faithful hill in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. And he writes upon this, and there are literally hundreds of scriptures that what God, when he talks about and sets these things in motion, it's all about me wanting to do for you. Amen. And God committed himself to be that. He wants to look upon every one of us as being his bride. When he was defining there a while ago how that, you know, the dress was being fixed and everything was being put together and that they were going to be all together beautiful, that's every bride on a wedding day. Wanted all the way, there would be a way, amen, from the very earliest part of Genesis all the way to the end. That God has people not of a certain race. Israel wasn't Israel because of Israel. Israel was Israel because God was going to be born through that nation and bless the whole world. And the promise of Abraham and thy seed, all of thy neighbor, or everybody's going to be saved and fed and met with what Abraham had to give. But Abraham was just walking on that right path. And he was being blessed. And he was blessed for many years and blessed with many things. But somewhere down that line, and we know through the history as we have walked within ourselves that God looked upon that and that Israel began to fall. You know, there was, you know, a bondage and I need everybody to turn the phones off, please. Chippy. Tom's been waiting for us to hear on Chippy. All right. But in all these things that we see in God, we know the pattern. Amen. The Lord used Amos to master them. He used Hosea. Matter of fact, every book that's in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us that he is the apple of our eye. That retina part of our eye that is so sensitive and it is so important to each and every one of us. And we are the one that's in the center focus, amen, of that eye upon people. And he can do it to everybody. I only get to make contact with I person one time only. I mean, singular only. I can't look around and see, look into Greg's eye and then see Sister Rose. I have to get off of one set of eyes into another set of eyes. Amen. Our God sees us all the time. He always knows who we are and where we are. He might not like who we are or where we are, but he laid that and made that commitment to us. And so Israel falls into this deep failure to where now they're going to have to pay for their sins and the unrighteousness that they've had. And so God is expanding this. And yet we know that in the beginning, even long before the law, there were men and women that walked with God and feared God. Amen. Trusted in God. And God put his claim upon those people. It was Noah that was righteous. Amen. It was him that was the one that went out and got the work done as far as that goes. And then Israel builds into this great kingdom. And they look into all the other nations. And God has blessed them with gold and silver when they come out of Egypt. And they're walking in that wilderness land. And yet they have a tent that they have to carry. And a sun that was over their head at night. And clouds by day. And there was the protection of God upon his people as well as the blessings of God. Now, this is the Old Testament. Amen. I've got to really just jump around. But the point I want to make is that even in the Old Testament people, there was such a stand of righteousness that when they lived righteously, God blessed them. When they did not live righteously, they were forsaken. Not just of man, but they were forsaken of the God that was their protector. The God that was the one that cared for them, the God that loved them. Matter of fact, it got so terrible that the Lord, by the time that we get into the minor prophets, he takes this man Hosea and tells him about Gomer and that story that is talking about Israel, how they have faltered and fallen. The law of Israel was not always just benefited by Israeli people, amen, or God's holy people. Hebrew would be probably more proper to say, amen, but it was something that in this coming to them, there were people that were proselyted that came into that kingdom, some of them by marriage, some of them just by merit, others maybe just by stumbling. Probably people there that saw how maybe their friend was blessed and God had blessed them, Amen. And sure enough, God was not going to hold that back. And so God's divine design for Israel was this: for thy maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God that the whole earth shall call, or shall he be called, Isaiah 54 and verse 5. And so the Lord lays down this foundation, and some of the things that we find here, it is the bride, Isaiah tells us in 62 and 5, it is the bridegroom that rejoices over his bride. Amen. Isaiah 54 and 8 talks about how that God hid his face from people. Amen. But his mercies to Israel were everlasting. Isaiah 49 and 14, Zion said, Lord, thou hast forsaken me, and my God, you have forgotten me. But yet he comes back and realizes that it was the Lord that was his keeper. And then this walk with Abraham, or with Isaiah through these books, we find out that each day that there is something that God says, I have indelibly printed, amen, you upon the palm of my hand, amen, to keep. And so those people that were living for God knew God was there, knew that God was their protector, their provider, amen, that if they live for God, everything's going to be all right. It's just like the First Apostolic Church. If we live right and do right, then we know that God is going to handle things right. Amen, in the times of our decisions and things that we have to do. But God made the church his companion. Now we move into this, and you said, Brother Davis, you've gone all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And I had to do it, but with a point laying out that there has always been a God. He was the beginning. And there's always been his nature, his characteristics that we know that he possesses, his attributes, his divine attributes. They are ours. But they've always been mankind. Every generation had to look up because God was better than us all. And take them all and add them together and he would still be greater. And so the Lord is now talking about his desire for his church. Amen. Old Testament, there are some examples of Isaac going to get Rebekah. Amen. And Eliezer had gone in place, you know, Abraham there, and so as he is come, he's coming for a bride. He wants to get married. He has those things. The Lord has set this up. No wonder it happens so easy. You know? Or a little woman comes and has a bucket, and she got some water, and she promises to give him some of that and satisfy his thirst and give it to the animals, and they will satisfy their thirst. Amen. A load of treasures come that way. A load of treasures go back. Amen. Blessing was just being passed on and on. Amen. When she saw Isaac and Isaac saw her, there was just a great, I believe, an immediate love. Amen. And God gets involved with that. He's going to treat them like he would treat you. Amen. And you on a wedding day, when you look your best, and the groom tries to beat you, but God blows you all out of the water. Amen. He is the one most beautiful. He is the one that has all the gifts. He is the one that wants to protect this. He's the best friend of the couple. Amen. And God says, that is actually my bride that you bring into this. Although difficulties of a long journey and separation of the past may be involved, God desires everything willing individual to come to him. We have never seen the Lord, yet he has heard us in his greatness, never having been where he dwells, but we still believe that he waits, amen, and cares for us, amen, and wants to be a part of our home. Scholars believe that the Song of Solomon was made. I might have to crowd here out a little bit, make sure. Many scholars believe that the Song of Solomon was the imaginary of the God's relationship with his church. Without question, expresses the deepest desires of man and woman, Solomon pictures the bride passionately opening up her conversation. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. He's actually talking about her Lord. Amen. She loves her God. And so, let me go on here. Microphone's afraid where I'm going. Solomon 1:4. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Thou hast brought me into the chambers, and will be glad and rejoice in thee, and we will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. He brought me to the banqueting house. This is Psalm 2:4. He brought me into the banquet house, and his banner over me was love. Likewise, the church has this, to where we need to understand, amen, our relationship with God is just as passionate, amen, as what we find depicted by man. Where did he actually learn that from? Not on TV, but from the presence of God. He says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, amen, and fly to the moon. No, that's not on there. Amen. And so what God does is he chooses, amen, this relationship, it's his ultimate desire to love us and care for us in every way. So he designs this for his church. The finest social instructions in the world of marriage between the godly man and the godly woman, it was God first institution. Typically, the New Testament speaks of marriage as a joyous union between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Revelation chapter 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. There's something about every wedding that goes on, and I'm not saying that people have to go out and spend a lot of money, but you know, I don't know if a girl would ever not want to look her very best on her wedding day. Amen. Or a groom to stand to be as handsome as he possibly can be. And put upon that the benefit that there is a God, there is this third cord, so to speak, amen, that is hard to be broken. Amen, that are nationwide and international places, to where all over the world we know that we have brothers and sisters that love God, that love us. Amen. If we're not praying for them, they're praying for us. Amen. And part of that is because God says, that's my wife. That's my bride. That's the one that's going to come and be with me. And God made that relationship to fall into that place. I have a whole lot more. We can stay here longer. I'm just trying to narrow this down. We esteem the honor upon Jesus Christ as the bride when he comes. We see Revelation 19:8 that is promised, that although the people of God not arrayed in the costly finery of fashions of the world, they radiate with a heavenly beauty and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is coming for a victorious, holy, waiting, witnessing church. We are to separate ourselves from the sin while it is reaching out to the sinners. And he has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Amen. And Christians cannot afford to succumb to the lust and the loose living that is in our world today. Moreover, the people, many people look upon the satisfaction in the bottom of the liquor or in the end of a syringe, amen, of themselves. Nevertheless, the Lord is perfecting his church in the midst of a desperate and difficult time. He loved the church. Sacrificially gave himself for it. Every day the bride is preparing herself for his return as she seeks to do what she knows would pleasure him. And what the world would need is somebody in this day and every hour. I really believe that your marriage time is a time to where we see people reaching out to their favorite people. Some of them not so favorite. But the family members and the friends and the people that show up and offer, you know, all of their accolades upon you and what is happening that day, they can come to before God and know that God is going to be with us. Our internal, that is our personal, but our eternal companionship. Must be time to go. Now he that is to be dead with Christ, we believe, shall also live with him. Everybody say amen? And the words "with Christ" reaches out to us because that's what our relationship is all about. We need to be soul winners. I think as a church, we could probably all look at ourselves and think, Lord, you know, you love us so much. You care for us so much. Amen. Old-time black minister thing. Haywood. I know I got that one right. That's a long way just to come to my mind, slip way back. I don't do that anymore. Amen. But he sang a song that everybody ought to know. And that was his love for God. You can't turn it. That way, as far as God is concerned, because he is the one that is the key of the big picture. He is the one that is able to break down barriers. He's the ones like when G.T. Haywood penned this song, very simple song. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Amen. And as he pens that, you know, he got that copyright of that song. He was of another denomination. And that denomination he left come Jesus' name, one God. Unless they were the songs. But you know what? It wasn't, I don't think G.T. Haywood, amen, was all about profit. And I'm not talking about profit spiritually. I'm talking about profit, you know, as just as far as man goes and his human economy. So here was something that God has put out, and he sings that. And maybe I ought to just add with this. I know we're getting close to time, and it's a good time. Conclusion is just about 2 inches down, so we're doing pretty good. But Haywood was one that, and the mark of our point is, you let God get into you. And if you love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and strength back, man, if you love your neighbors, you love yourself. There's just a flow. And everybody ought to know there's a wedding coming. Amen. It's going to be better to wait on that than, well, you know, the world's coming. Sleep for a while. Amen. But he's going to let this one exist and come, amen, into his kingdom and enjoy the beauty of heaven instead of the torments of hell down the road. And we ought to be fortunate, one, that we know that we have a great God. This great God loves us. The great God does beautiful things in our lives. And we need to do our best to reach out and become witnesses. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Sister Davis, sing me. That words of that course of your brain filed away somewhere. That's what I'm. Oh. Well, we all know it, right, Brother Kelly? Think about it, it's an easy song. It's almost as much.
Everybody ought to know. Thank you.